You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. Call me after the program at 452-2428, 452-CHAT. Cindy Souter, land use consultant, has agreed to waive the fee normally associated with answering questions on the radio, so that's good news, free information. I was reading about a church that was being built out in Hollister near 217 Ward Memorial. And I guess they were located in Isla Vista, and they're finally building this church. And I was reading the paper, and it said they approved the building, and they classified a 5-foot cross that was above and beyond the county's 50-foot height limit. And they approved it and classified it as a religious icon, not a part of the building height. So I read that and I thought, well, I wonder why they did that. Because then what if someone else came, let's say their building height was whatever it was, 30, 40, 50 feet, and then they said, well, but you know, I want to put a religious icon on top of my building, and since you gave them permission, and well, you can give me, and my religious icon is a swastika or some, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I wonder why the county chose to do that as opposed to giving them a variance or rather a modification, would it be?
Probably a mod.
So, I mean, you don't know anything about this. Do you have any reason why they might?
St. Athanasius Church is the one, and they were trying forever to get their church approved on that parcel out there. And the only thing, if it's only 5 feet, the cross, it's within the 10%. They can give you a mod for a 10% change in your height limit.
Mm.
So since it's only 5 feet tall,
they could have given them a modification.
They could have. I don't know the particulars, but it sounds reasonable to me.
So when someone wants to do something outside the rules,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever it is, height, you know, setback, side yard.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, please, can I please have, they ask for a modification.
Modification or variance. Usually it's a mod.
Okay.
Modification for short. Mod.
Mod for short. So what, so the modification is an easier thing to get?
Exactly.
It's a smaller thing.
It's more reasonable. You're not asking for the sky.
Okay. And variance. Now, is this part of what you do? People come to you and say, hey, Cindy, I started this project. And mm-hmm. I just realized that.
Yep.
What's an example? What kind of modifications do you see? What are they looking for?
Modifications are usually like minor details. Usually on, if you have a small lot, the house was built like 50 years ago before the current setbacks are in place. So they want to do a second story addition, or they want to add on to the back. But if they do that, then they're going to be in. You know, maybe the existing house is already in their current front yard setback, or, you know, in their back rear yard setback or mm-hmm. side yard, you know, whatever the case is. But the house is there and it's legal and it's been there and it's not a problem. But any new construction, they would want to line up with their existing house for aesthetic and architectural and structural engineering purposes. Then, you know, you can ask for a modification to your front yard setback to allow the house to be partially located, you know, the new part of the house to be partially located in the front yard or backyard, side yard, whatever the case may be. Usually just front or rear.
They don't like side?
No. Well, the whole purpose of setbacks is to create space between you and your neighbors. So if you've got, if you're asking for habitable space in your side yard setback that would be closer to the property line than the existing line of the house, they probably wouldn't go for that. City or county, really.
So prior to asking if your house was built, is this what you call legal nonconforming? Your house is legal.
Yeah, it would be legal nonconforming.
Originally, legally mm-hmm. built. And so do they like that argument? If you say, look, you know, it's been there. Can I add on? It's still within what was there, even though it's not conforming to today's standards. What's the reaction? What do they say when they...
Well, you know, everything's, I mean, a modification is a discretionary permit. So if it's, you know, you're adding three stories and, you know, it's going to be hot pink and, you know, neon light roof, well, they're going to say, well, maybe you ought to rethink your design a little.
Oh, you've seen my house then.
But if, you know, if you're not doing anything outlandish and just doing something relatively normal, what they consider an appropriate improvement on the lot is one of the findings they have to make. They're usually supportable.
Now, are we talking they, the city, or they, the county? Now it might be a time to decide to see who we're, which entity is a little more, you know, open.
I would say the city, just the way they've got their rules set up. The city allows more allowances with modifications than the county does. The county has very limited list of items that can be obtained with a modification.
Oh, okay.
But the city has a long list, and it's either it goes to...
Go ahead. Finish that point.
It either goes... In the city, there's two levels. Well, I guess on appeal, it could be a third level. But your first level is what used to be the modification hearing officer, but now it's the staff hearing officer because they've rearranged how things work at the city a little bit. So now I'd go to the show hearing is what they call those, SHO. If it's just a minor modification request or something that wasn't part of a bigger project. And if it's a more serious modification request, like a like you can get a modification for lot area and lot width in the city, but you can't get that in the county. That'd trigger a variance in the county. So if Planning Commission at the city, you can do lot area and lot width modifications, and that's under the umbrella of a modification. So there's a lot you can do under a modification in the city that you can't do under a modification in the county.
And I think the perception of a lot of people, and I've heard this, you know, having done this program for 7 years, and you've been on a couple of times, and Leslie's been on, and a lot of topics along this way, a lot of people move out to the county to get away from the city. They don't want the city, you know, they view that the city as being draconian. The county is just kind of a little more laissez-faire. There's no zoning inspection reports upon sale, inspection reports.
Yeah.
So
that's a biggie.
If you if you fudge a little, you don't get busted unless the neighbor complains. But that's true. But the overall perception is not as true as what we're saying here, is it?
I mean,
you're actually saying the city gives you more leeway.
Yeah. With modifications.
With these specific.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any instances where you can say the opposite? Where you could say if you live in the county, you'd have an easier time getting something done?
Well, I think... Well, the both jurisdictions have very similar steps and loops and hoops. And it also depends, like, where in the county. Like the unincorporated part of Goleta, not where they want to put all the new housing right now, but, well, actually that is part of where they want to put all the new housing, but like the little Nolita area, you know, a lot of projects in there don't have to go to BAR, Board of Architectural Review, so it's a step that's cut out of the permit process. So there's a lot of areas, and some things in San Ynez Valley don't need to go to Board of Architectural Review. So there are certain pockets of the county where I would say it is faster and more expedient to get your permits just based on where they are in the county.
Right.
And then you got parts of the county like Montecito where you've got to go through your Montecito BAR, you got to go through planning. You know, if it's a bigger project, the Montecito Association is going to want to look at it. Not that they have say in it, but they aren't a voting body. The Montecito Planning Commission, if necessary. So it depends on where you are in the county, the steps and loops and hoops.
Do people hire you sometimes just to sit down for a couple hours, get a little advice? They want to do it themselves. They want to do their project, but they just want to, you know, pick your brain and just get some guidance. Or do most of your people just kind of say, okay, here's my project, get it done, and you bill me X number of hours?
Usually it's the latter. Every once in a while I'll get a call from somebody. Like your typical mom and pop type person, I'll call them. And, you know, they don't have a big budget to spend on their project, but they want to get it done. And when I get a call from somebody like that, you know, I'll just take the half hour out of my day to, you know, give them their freebie
Kind of like this hour on this program right now. You just little freebie. Or are you actually billing the station? We didn't talk about that.
I was just going to bill you directly.
Cindy Souder is today's guest, land use consultant, 564-1290, 564-1290. If you're about to take a sledgehammer to the side of your house, you might want to make certain you're not. Whatever happened to Kimberly McCarthy?
She's still around. She's been on maternity leave a couple times now, but she's still around.
A couple of times? I mean, she has two children?
I believe two.
She was the zoning enforcement supervisor. I haven't talked to her. I know she used to have a lot of cats.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I didn't know she
I think she upgraded to children.
Was that upzoned or downzoned?
Upzoning.
Upzoning.
To children, because it'd be more density in your house.
Now, out in the county, I have a parcel that's 60 feet wide by 100 feet.
Okay.
So the general rule of thumb, I thought, was that the side yard setback would be 10% of the width, not to exceed 10 feet.
Is it residential?
I called, and that's what... and I've heard that, yes.
Okay.
Yes. That sound about right to you?
Yeah, 10% is normal. So six feet on each side.
6 feet on each side. Now, I was looking to do a tankless water heater. Are you familiar with those?
Yes, we have one at our house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The flash ones?
Yes.
Where, in theory, you never run out of hot water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you run out of hot water?
No, but just make sure you get the little calcium filter thing that comes with it, because we have hard water and it'll... jam it up and corrode it, and then
You're supposed to do some kind of maintenance thing too. You're supposed to flush them every now and again.
Yeah.
In fact, Monday, April 3rd, mm-hmm. for that week, I'm going to interview a fellow who sells tankless water heaters and furnaces and different heating things, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that. So. Is yours hanging on the outside wall or in the attic or in an inside garage or where was the
Ours
location?
Is in the laundry room.
Right in the laundry room.
Right there.
I've seen them. It's just really neat. So it looks like a small suitcase. Terrific idea. Mm-hmm. I love the whole thing.
And they're supposed to be way more energy efficient too.
They're not heating a tank of hot water 24/7.
Nope.
So definitely. So in my situation, I was thinking of hanging it on the outside of the house. And I was always under the misapprehension that water heaters were somehow exempt from side yard setbacks. And I called the county and they said no.
No, they're not.
They're not. He said some storage type things are, but not anything with plumbing or electrical.
Right.
So I knew about the storage thing because I put a storage shed in the backyard. I know you have to be at least 5 feet away from the house, but you could be right on the side yard,
mm-hmm.
right on the property line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, as long as you're 5 feet from the house. Mm-hmm. So, I'm looking at my house, I'm looking at the fence, and it is 6 feet right on the nose on that side of the house. I go to the other side of the house, and I realize that the house jogs out. And at one point in time, it's only 5 feet from the fence. Now, if the fence is the property line.
If the fence is the property line, right? That's my next question.
But, you know, the way the house is built, you know, the garage is just kind of a little architectural jog. And...
Is it like a little bay window or something?
No. No. The entire back end of the original garage is 5 feet from the fence, and then the rest of the house jogs in, and the rest of the house is 6 feet from fence on both sides of the house, except for this 20-foot long section of the house, which is only 5 feet.
And the garage is attached?
Yes. So it's the house.
It's part of the house, yeah.
It's the house. It's the house. It's 5 feet. So question is... was it possible that when it was built, the side yard was only 5 feet? Assuming the fence is a...
It could have been. When was the house built?
64.
Oh, okay. So fairly recently. Yeah, or they could have... What else could have happened is at one point in time, maybe the garage was not attached.
This is a... No. This is a cookie cutter track. They're all the same.
Track house?
They're all dealing. Yeah, that's all the deal. And so my question is, based on that fact, is the county going to say, oh, well, maybe, you know, is there any chance of getting a mod from the county on putting plumbing and electrical and hanging this thing 9 inches, you know, so instead of being, you know, is that going to happen?
Well, where? Is it going to be in the garage or next to the garage?
Exterior.
Yeah.
It's going to hang on the exterior side yard.
There's a chance you could get a mod for that, but I, in all honesty, for the time and money you'd spend getting a mod for it, I'd just find another spot for it.
Put it in the attic.
Well, or the, you know, laundry room, put it out in the garage, put it on the back of the house, not the side.
I want to, the back of the house is an idea. I didn't, I might do that. I like the attic, though. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, our phone number 564-1290. We'll come back with land use consultant Cindy Souter for the third segment. Fourth segment will be the weekly multiple listing update. We'll talk a little bit about habitable space. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.